برائے خوشنود امام زمانہ بلند تر صلوات
اللہم صل علی محمد و آل محمد. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ الذی لیس لاولیته ابتداء ولا لازلیته انقضاء وانحصرت الاوصاف عن کنہ معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذی لا تواری عنہ سماء سماء ولا ارض ارضا، ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والاکرام على سید البطحاء سید المرسلین والانبیاء ابی القاسم محمد المصطفی. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. اما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وان منكم الا واردها كان على ربك حتما مقضيا، ثم ننجي الذين اتقوا ونذر الظالمين فيها جثيا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It's our responsibility as believers to hold ourselves accountable, and if we don't, then we will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Those people who hold themselves accountable themselves in this life, the way we are supposed to hold ourselves accountable, then we will be exempt and we are entitled to enter the paradises and the gardens without the accountability. We did talk about some of those categories of people who deserve to enter without accountability, and also some of those categories of people who will enter the hellfire without the accountability. Now, another station in the Day of Judgment that deserves our attention in terms of holding ourselves accountable before we reach that stage is the station called As-Sirat, the bridge. And this has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, in these ayat of Holy Quran, Surah Maryam, which I recited: وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. There isn't any one of you but he has to come to it. That means the hellfire. كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. This is something confirmed, unavoidable, and decreed upon by Allah, by your Lord. So this is something which simply cannot be avoided. It's a confirmed decision of Allah that all have to come towards the hell. And after that, Surah Maryam says, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then we are going to save those who did taqwa. وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِسِيَّا. And we'll leave the oppressors there on their knees. The oppressors who did oppressions in this world, while they will be crossing the bridge of fire, will not be walking on the bridge. Instead, they will be crawling over their knees. We learn very obviously in the light of these verses of Surah Maryam that all of us, all the humans, would be crossing over the bridge. وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. There isn't anyone amongst you except it will, but he has to come to it. That's what I mentioned, if you remember, in one of the previous speeches, that the bridge of Sirat is crossing over the hellfire. Some of the scholars of tafsir say through the hellfire. So it's the bridge which is crossing over the hell, and everyone has to cross. In the tafsir of Qurtubi, it has been mentioned in the tafsir about this verse, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then we will save the ones who did taqwa. The tafsir says, الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا الشِّرْك. Those who back then in the life of dunya were protecting themselves from the shirk are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save. So taqwa, this is what our scholars say, that basically Jahannam and hellfire is Jahannam of Shahawat, is the Naru Shahawat. And Jannat, the paradise, is actually Jannatul Taqwa. Hellfire is the place of our desires, and heaven is the place of our abstinence. How much we were powerful, strong enough to control our inclinations and whims and wishes. When we want to do something and our desires are misleading us towards doing something, which as a matter of fact the desires always mislead the person, there is no human being on the planet who can claim that my desires are pure. Then it's not called desires. What is pure was already added in the Sharia. Anything that was pure and beneficial that would end up in your support, in your help, that's going to elevate you, make you close to Allah, purify your soul, benefit you in any regard, is already made part of the Sharia, because Allah is our creator, He loves us. He would either make that ruling become wajib, if it's a really beneficial thing, or he would have made it mustahab, recommended act. Isn't it right? So anything that would have any sort of benefit for you and your spirituality and your body as well, Islam has rulings not only for the soul but for the body as well, would have been made part of the Sharia. So if you find there is any of your desires, you know, anything that you want to do and you think that it's very good, it's nice, there's nothing wrong about it, you must understand this is how shaitan is misleading us. Because none of our desires are pure and none of our desires are beneficial. That's the definition of human desires. And in the tafsir of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we learn that Sirat is actually nothing but the Imam of your time. The hadith says, As-Siratul Mustaqim Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That's the real meaning of Sirat. We have been talking about so much about the bridge, isn't it? What's the straight path of Allah? Straight path of Allah is nothing but the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, which is the walayat of Rasulullah, which is the walayat and authority and governance and supremacy of Allah Himself over ourselves. So the question that we need to have, that's what they say. See, the narration says, As-siratu siratane. There are two sirat, two bridges. One sirat in dunya and a sirat in akhirat. The sirat in dunya is nothing but the imam. That's the walayat of the imam under whose imamat you are surviving, you are living. The imam of your time. Today is the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. This is what we need to ask ourselves. Well, what am I doing towards the walayat of my Imam? Is the supremacy of Allah, is Allah ruling over me? And whenever I want to do something, I need to think, what did Allah say about it? What did Imam Sahib al-Zaman say about it? What would make him be pleased with me? For everything, if for everything and every choice and every intersection of our life we think on those lines, what would Imam Sahib al-Zaman say if I do that? Or think about me if I do that? What pleases him and what displeases him? That would prove that wa alaykum as-salam, the walayat of the Imam of my time is ruling over my soul, not my desires. And if you don't allow the walayat of the Imam of your time to rule over soul, you never practice, you never were on the straight path back then in the life of dunya. And whatever you did, whatever you practiced, whatever you believed back then in the life of dunya would appear in the form of the bridge on the akhirat. So akhirat, like I said earlier, three or four speeches away, there's nothing new going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Nothing new is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Day of Judgment is a day where all the hidden realities that were hidden back then in dunya over me because of my ignorances would now be apparent, appear upon me. Not that it is going to happen today, no. It has already happened. My soul was already burnt with my desires and worshipping my wishes. Now I would end up discovering that I already have a burnt soul. Those who obeyed the Imam of the time, they already enlightened, illuminated their souls with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would end up discovering that our soul is already illuminous. Already illuminous. Not that this is going to happen there. That's a misstatement, misrepresentation of the facts of Quran. If someone says that the reward, the nuraniyat of the qalb, the paradise and the hellfire will be made available only on the Day of Judgment and is not available right now. When we believe it's available right now, then we will also end up believing that when it's a hellfire is there, then it's not a decoration piece, isn't it right? Paradise is there right now, it's not a decoration piece. What benefit it has to do with my life? The benefit or harm is as follows. If I do a sin, I get burnt straight away. That's the benefit of keeping the hellfire right now for the humanity, isn't it right? And the benefit of heaven is that we get the nur of our obediences into our spirituality right now. That's the benefit of having the heaven right now. So now, because of our behaviors, how we practiced back then in the life of dunya, so we will be crossing, it will appear. Allah doesn't need to find out how did we behave. He already knows. He knew before the creation of the universe how each and every particle would behave. Isn't it right? We were ignorant and the rest of the humans were ignorant. Isn't it right? Except those who, the prophets and the imams. Isn't it right? So we were ignorant, the humanity was ignorant, it would become clear upon us, the sinners or the good doers, and it would become clear upon the rest of the humanity, why is Allah sending this individual to the heaven and this individual to the hell? Upon Allah it was clear already. And now people are reaching this place. There's a unique kind of bridge, never seen before, you know, thinner than the hair of a human being and sharper than the edge of the sword. How thin is the hair of a human being? Isn't it right? You cannot even think of walking over the hair. Isn't it right? But that's what we are walking right now, every single moment of our life. And the way we are walking and practicing the, you know, the walayat of the Imam of our time in making choices of life at every intersection, that's the way we are walking the fine line. Isn't it right? So this is how we make a fine line. You go to the workplace, you have to shake up hand with the non-mahram person. Isn't it right? You have to make a choice. What shall I do? Isn't it right? You have to tell a lie to somebody just to make more money. Or if you end up deceiving someone for when you're selling a product, or you end up doing hasad and envy towards a fellow, you know, mu'min brother or sister, or you end up doing ghibat or backbiting, the way we are making these choices every moment of our life, this is how we are treading the path which is thinner than the hair, avoiding the harams and keeping ourselves at a distance from all the harams and walking the thin and fine line. This is how Allah will make it clear upon us and the rest of the humanity that this guy was walking like this.
Sharper than the edge of the sword, ahaddu min as-sayf wa azlamu min al-layl, darker than the night. Now we have narration from Kitab al-Amali of Shaykh Saduq Radhwanullah alayhi, please say salawat. Where we find that the speeds are mentioned. Shaykh Saduq in this narration from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, look at the categories of people walking over Sirat. We're talking about how we need to hold ourselves accountable, muhasaba, towards the station called Sirat. Minhum man yamurru mislal barq. Among the humanity, there are some people who walk over it, that means walk over the bridge, like the flash of a lightning. A lightning flash, so fast. Isn't it right? This is how some people will walk like this. Well, they are the ones who are used to walk over the Sirat, making those correct decisions at every stage of their life, back then in the life of the dunya. That's how they were walking. They were leading the way towards the rest of the people. Isn't it right? When we are walking on the Sirat, what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah said, that we, while walking on a straight path, we are supposed to take lead and sabqat over the rest of the individuals. You need to take a lead over the rest of the individuals. That if, you know, we should be, first of all, we avoid laziness and do tasarru and surat. Be fast. Remove laziness in your behavior. Grow up. Behave like grown-up individuals. Isn't it right? So we learn what Allah has said in His Wahi and His Sharia on the greater soul, which is this Sharia, and these laws are nasikh lisharai. They are invalidating towards all the previous legislatures that Allah has provided. Nothing can supersede this Sharia. This is the most perfect, complete and final word which can never be invalidated. When we have those kinds of highest possible laws for our success, now we need to learn those laws ASAP. Instead of learning those laws in time when we get 75 years of age or 80 years old. I never read in my life that when an 80-year-old person, elderly person is saying Salatul Layl, you know, night prayers, Namaz Shab, Allah would say to His angels, look at how my servant is doing so good. I never read anywhere in my life. But there is a narration when a young man, a young boy, a youth, he is reciting the night prayers, Allah says to His angels, look at the hal, the condition of this person, in other words. And be a witness that I have forgiven him. So if you do the similar obediences, how would you do those obediences? When you gain the knowledge. Step number one in Islam starts by learning the rulings of the Sharia. Before your daughter reaches the age of Islamic maturity, it's your responsibility as a father, and second of all as a mother, primarily the responsibility of father, to teach your daughter before she reaches the age of Islamic maturity all the wajibat
and information about all the haram so she can avoid it. Starting from Tawheed, proving it with the logical evidences. Isn't it right? Prophet is walking by in a village in a desert, you know, and there's an elderly lady who is running the handmill, grinding the wheat. Grinding. And Prophet asks her about the Tawheed. And she says, she's an ignorant lady, isn't it right? Desert dwelling person. There are no schools or universities or colleges there. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, all I know is that when I move this hand mill, it rotates. And if I, you know, keep my hand away, it's the wind, this whole big stone of the windmill stops moving. So when I stop it, this whole stone, grinding stone, stops moving. Now how in the world the whole universe can run successfully without a Lord who is running it? Who is running the whole show. She was an ignorant lady living in the desert. For the person like her, this kind of evidence is acceptable. But if a person like you, living in the Los Angeles metropolitan area, is in the right, having access to all those information sources, obviously you need to have evidences. You need to have evidences that are suitable to your case. It should not happen that your daughter or son doesn't know why we believe in Allah. At least two of the mothers in America have contacted me personally that our children have denied the existence of Allah. First-hand information. They contacted me directly. Two mothers. Since my child started learning the evolution theory, he denied the existence of Allah. So these are very important issues that we are not talking about something theoretical or metaphorical or, you know. No, these are very, very important issues touching our lives on daily, almost daily basis. Or not almost, really on daily basis. Tawheed reflects in every aspect of a believer's personality. So your son and daughter must be empowered to know why we believe in 12 Imams. What in the world do I benefit in believing in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What if I don't learn about why Allah is Rahman and why Allah is all-powerful, why Allah is all-wise, why Allah is all-knowing? What if I don't bother to learn all that? Is there a difference in my life? Does my son know the difference? If he knows the difference, his lifestyle would change. His choices of life would change. Isn't it right? This is why you find the ignorances. This is why you find the ignorances found in the Usuluddin reflects in the Furuddin matters. The ignorances found in the belief system are bound to reflect in your actions and deeds. Because deeds and beliefs are inseparable from each other. Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam has said in Nahjul Balagha, Bil a'mal yustadallu ala salihat wa bis salihat tustadallu ala al-iman. Bil iman yustadallu ala salihat wa bis salihat tustadallu ala al-iman. So you understand, you realize, you discover the faith of a person through his deeds. And his deeds of a person through his faith. If he has faith, in other words, if he has the iman there, he would definitely end up doing the actions in sync with that iman. And if he has the actions, this shows he had the iman. That's why he did those actions. You never find a person doing all those obediences of Allah without, you know, recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reason why we find there's a loose behavior, because there's a loose iman. There's a vacuum in the faith. So what I was telling you is that
that there are people who are walking the straight path, this bridge of Sirat on the Day of Judgment with the flash of a lightning. And that's what my teacher said. When we are walking the straight path in the life of this dunya, we have a responsibility to remove the idle behavior, remove your laziness, and learn. Be quick in learning the Islamic knowledge. So you start walking on the straight path. Avoid the choices of Jahannam. The first step is Surat. Sari'u, Quran says, my teacher said, Quran says, Sari'u ila maghfiratim min rabbikum. Duty number one is Surat. You need to be quick. Life is running out. Time is really too short. We never know when we would die, isn't it right? The second step is Sabqat. Taking a lead over the rest of the individuals, believers who are alongside yourself walking on the straight path. You need to take a lead over the rest. Quran says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. This ayat is the evidence that we need to take a lead over the rest. And then my teacher said, the responsibility number three is imamat, doing the job of leadership for the community. Who can do the leadership? Somebody who's lacking behind? Definitely not. Leader has to stand in the front, ahead of the rest. So that's why, so when Quran says, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, make us the imam of the pious. My teacher says, this dua of the Holy Quran belongs to the sabiqeen. Only those people who have successfully taken a lead over the rest of the believers in walking the thin line, the fine line of the straight path, and making the correct choices all the way through. And they got so fast, they took a lead over the rest, and they're walking ahead of the rest. Only they have the right to lead. So Siratul Mustaqim has triple responsibilities on our neck. Surat, be quick, learn the knowledge, learn your shari obligations, isn't it right? Be quick in becoming a human, behave like a human. Anyone who ignores the rulings and values and principles of the Creator is behaving worse as an animal. Even animal doesn't do that. You can't find any animal in the animal kingdom that misbehaves towards the Creator's command. Isn't it right? The common example we always give, you can hold a carrot in front of a tiger, wait for a million years and it would never consume. It would die of hunger, but never consume. Because the Creator commanded the tiger what to eat and what not. There's zero disobedience in Alamut Takween. Tiger is part of Alamut Takween, not Alamut Tashri, the world of legislature, that we humans and jinns are part of that. Isn't that right? And you can hold the meat and flesh in front of the horse, and you can keep waiting for a million years, and a horse may die out of hunger, but not disobey the command of the Creator. It only consumes what Allah sanctioned for it. That's it. But there are human beings who are consuming, quote-unquote, consuming their fellow human beings in the name of democratization of the Middle East, killing more than a million people, collateral damage, killing innocent civilians, isn't it right? We care about the innocent civilians, isn't it right? In the Dhi'ba, the share that Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, recited. In the Dhi'ba yatruku lahma dhi'bin wa ya'kulu ba'dana ba'dan ayana. That's the share of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam, which was recited by him and also repeated by Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. So this is also now part of the hadith of the Ma'soom. Isn't it right? When the Ma'soom says something, it says hadith. It's authentic. It's authenticated by the Ma'soom. That's what it means. Isn't it right? In the dhi'ba, yatruku lahma dhi'bim. A wolf leaves the meat of another wolf. وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَيَانًا, whereas some of us are eating, consuming some of others. Isn't right? This is how the humans are. So anyone who is still not opened up towards learning and behaving according to the values and principles of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behaving worse than the animals. Step number one is be quick in learning. Step two, take a lead, sabqat, lead over the rest. And when you have successfully taken a lead over the rest, you are the one who deserve to do that dua of the Holy Quran, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, make us the imam and leader of the pious. Now you deserve to lead the rest of the pious people because you have taken lead over them in doing the khairat and good deeds. Not those who are lagging behind. Today I do 5 harams, tomorrow I do 10, then I go do 7 harams, then I do 5, business as usual. As if I'm a child, still I'm engaged in lahav and la'ib and harams and stuff. Behaving like a childish behavior towards Allah. And when in the world would we grow up and behave like a grown-up individuals, once and for all discover how we were supposed to lead our life. Isn't right? This is why the speeds of people walking over the bridge of Sirat are different. Some, the first category, Sheikh Saduq narrates from our sixth Imam, minhum man yamurru misla al-barq. Some of them passing like a flash. Wa minhum man yamurru misla adwil faras. Some of them will be moving like the running of a horse. That means it's fast. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمُرُّ حَبْوًا. Some of them would be crawling over their knees. So that back then, these people were crawling over knees, isn't it right? When they were treading the straight path, that was their choices. They couldn't even stand up straight in their life. They couldn't even stand up straight. This is what I call childish behavior. Isn't the child who crawls in the early age? Isn't it right? This guy behaved like a child in front of the values and principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Sharia. He was behaving like a child. So now he deserves to crawl there. You may be 95 years old, but you would be crawling. And then Imam alayhi salam says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمُرُّ مَشْيًا. Among them would be the one who would be walking, crossing it in a walking situation. This guy is not fast. He's just walking a regular walk. He walked back then in dunya, now he's walking here, isn't it right? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمُرُّ مُتَعَلِّقًا قَدْ تَأْخُذُ النَّارُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَتَتْرُكُ شَيْئًا. And among them will be somebody who would be, when he would be crossing over the bridge, the hellfire, he would be hanging. He would be hanging over the bridge of Sirat, that the hellfire flames would take away part of his flesh, part of his existence, and leave the rest. Right? All those things that we did. Remember the ayat of Holy Quran where Allah says, Inna Rabbaka Labil Mirsad. So about this verse of Holy Quran, we have the hadith of tafsir of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Definitely your Lord is at Mirsad. In other words, so Imam alayhi salam says, Al-Mirsadu qantaratun ala sirat. Mirsad is a crossing, is a bridge over sirat. La yajuzuha abdun bimadlamatin. No person can cross over it who has a zulm on him. If you have done zulm on somebody, some sort of zulm on somebody, you simply cannot cross over that. So unless and until the hellfire takes the revenge. Now the person will be hanging, he cannot move forward. He's stuck. Hellfire is now taking the revenge from that person. As much zulm as he or she has done back then in the life of dunya, that's the hellfire is going to take away that much of your body, and burn it away. And this is how the reward has been taken. After crossing the Sirat, that's where, why is Sirat that important?
The stage of Sirat is important. After you end up crossing the bridge of Sirat, that's where is the division that people will then be going towards the heaven, the paradise. And our scholars say that in Tafsir, they have mentioned the reason why Allah allowed everyone to cross over the bridge of Sirat, which is over the hellfire or through it, even including the good doers. The reason why Allah asked all of them to cross over it, so now they end up realizing the greatness of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat. Now we would value the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? Otherwise it's very difficult for people to value. You know, they won't realize what's the value. And this is how we find it's obviously one of the benefits of realizing that is that we will change our behaviors towards that. The reason why we don't change, some of the people don't change the behaviors, because obviously they are not Ahlul Yaqeen, they are Ahlul Shak. Just like the story of Harisa ibn Malik in the book Al-Kafi, where Prophet saw this person, people surrounding him, and Prophet inquired, and he was told that this person says that he is Ahlul Yaqeen. He has Yaqeen and certitude. And Prophet asked about the alamat and sign. Obviously, every reality has a sign. You can prove that through the sign. So what's the sign of the yaqeen, being Ahlul Yaqeen, being one of those who have yaqeen and certitude? What's the sign? And Prophet said, asked about the sign once, and he replied that I can see the people of hell burning in the hellfire right now. And I can see the people of the paradise benefiting from the blessings of Allah right now. This is not what he can say, because he doesn't have those hijabat, isn't it right? He's Ahlul Yaqeen. When somebody is Ahlul Yaqeen, he can witness all those things right now. That's where the Holy Prophet replied, Abdun Nawwarallahu Qalbahu. He is that a servant whose qalb and soul has been illuminated by the Lord. Allah has provided nur to his qalb. Please say salawat. These teachings of the Sharia, provide the nur. And there are some people who underestimate the highness of the teachings of the Sharia. When the same Sharia was revealed on the Holy Prophet's soul, isn't it right? He was shivering. This is the only the greatness of the soul of Rasulullah who can withstand the greatness of the Sharia in its entirety. That's his soul. And he comes to his wife, Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, asks her to, to provide a cloth so he can wrap himself up with that cloth. And when he wrapped himself with that cloth, this verse of Holy Quran was revealed on the occasion of Bi'sat, when Prophet was officially commanded by Allah to start his propagation. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir. O you who is the clothed one, the one who has been clothed, arise and warn. Now Prophet has received the Sharia, he's supposed to warn other people, isn't it right? Quran did not say arise, rise up and give glad tidings and basharat to the people. And this is what some people say, why you always talk about inzar and warning the people? Well, because Quran, our Muhassireen say, Quran most of the times is talking about inzar, and less of the times is talking about the basharat and glad tidings. So let's go according to the policy of Quran and the Prophet. Our scholars say, if Prophet would have said to the masses, hey guys, if you stop telling the lie, you will be rewarded in paradise. If you don't do ghibat, you'll be rewarded. If you tell the truth, you'll be rewarded. People would have replied to the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, we respect you, but we don't care about the rewards there and on the Day of Judgment. We want the rewards right now, here, in this world. Isn't it right? This is our paradise. We just want to live with freedom, quote unquote. Freedom, the Western style. Do whatever you wish to do. Isn't it right? Break away from the law of the Creator. Violate the law of the Creator in the name of freedom. Freedom to violate the law of the Lord.
Isn't it right? That's what the people would have said definitely to the Holy Prophet.
But when you are talking about the Inzar, you're warning them about the punishments, there's no room for them to escape. If you trust him, which even the idol worshippers burying their daughters alive used to trust him. Call him Sadiq and Amin. So Inzar can never be escaped. Basharat is usually escaped by most of the people. Because that's what our scholars say, the majority of those human beings who are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are obeying Allah because of his fear of the hell.
And there's a very less minority of the believers and obedient people and pious people who are obeying and doing this piety because they want the reward. There is a very small, tiny minority. And there's a really precious, precious few people only on the footsteps of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because they consider Allah to be deserving of worship. Just like Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam has said, Ilahi ma abadtuka khawfa min narik wala tama'an fi jannatik. Oh my Lord, I didn't worship you for the scare of your hell, nor did I worship you for the greed of your reward, your paradise. Bal wajadtuka ahlan lil ibadati fa abadtuk. Instead, I find you deserving for worship, so I worshipped you. How many people are like this? So this is the benefit to talk about the Inzar and warning. That's the policy of Quran in most of the verses, and that's the policy of of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, as we are discussing the accountability towards the station of Sirat, our scholars say even warning about Jahannam is even the creation of Jahannam itself is a rahmat and mercy of Allah. Because that's how we get warned, that's how we get straightened, that's how we get corrected.
And Jahannam is also serving as a mercy towards the pious people. Pious people who have been oppressed by the oppressors, you know, it's a mercy upon the pious that their oppressors get punished.
This is how you have to, you know, soothe and comfort those who were kept in pain by the oppressors. This is how you would comfort those who were oppressed.
Isn't it right? By serving justice. If you don't serve the justice, you can never heal the wound of those who have been hurt. Isn't it right? So Jahannam, don't interpret Jahannam to be a negative entity. Jahannam and Hellfire is also a positive entity, and also from these perspectives serves as a rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And then we have narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas saying that Sirat has 7 bridges, and the first one is relating Iman. The thing that we emphasize, that I emphasize in the beginning of my speech, our behavior towards the walayat and imamat of the time, imam of the time, that's what relates to the iman. How did I behave towards that? Or was I siding towards the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, supporting the enemies or sympathizing the enemies, or even having a soft corner towards what the enemies and the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and the enemies of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam are doing, if I have a soft corner towards that? This is also relating to the same concept of Iman. And the second thing is the second bridge over on Sirat is second bridge in Jahannam. Jahannam has 7 bridges, and the second bridge, the first one is Iman, and the second one is the Salat, prayers. How much importance we hold for the Salat in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to hold importance for the Salat and try our best to pray in the beginning time. You know, Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar Shustari rahmatullah alayhi said that even on the day of Ashura, not a single mustahab recommended act was left out by Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. not a single mustahab thing of the Sharia. You can start counting the mustahab things and you'll see how Imam Hussain Hassan was even performing the mustahab. Even a little bit, some, you know, panic happens in our life, or we go through some sort of little bit trouble of a very ordinary, average level. You find people, sinners like me, we start losing our mustahab things, isn't that right? Some people lose their wajibs as well. But even the mustahab things were not dropped, and even the waqt of fadilat of the prayers was never missed for a moment. Never missed for even a moment. This is the azamat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So we find that prophet saw a person who is doing prayers like this, you know. Some people naqaraka naqaril ghurab, putting your, just like you see, have you seen a crow, you know, picking up things and putting his beak over the ground so many times? Just how a person was praying so fast, messing up with his wajibs. When prophet saw this guy praying like that and that pattern, he said, if he dies, he won't die on my religion. If a person doesn't even know, you know, how to pray, and this kind of praise is what he performs, this person definitely is not going to die. Prophet said, if you die with this salat, with this prayers, you're not going to die on my religion. So this is Ayatullah Khunsari, one of our great urafa in the history. This is how, see, these stories have a lesson for us when we talk about the great personalities. Ayatullah Khunsari was one of the, you know, very unique and very high level pious personalities of our great history. And he's the one who performed his own prayers of his life. He repeated the prayers of his own life 3 times in his life. Just for the sake of ihtiyat, so I don't mess up with any prayers, and when I meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my prayers are done rightfully and properly. Please say salawat. And the third bridge on Jahannam is the bridge of Zakat. Zakat and Khums, how we behave towards the Islamic taxes. Isn't it right? You know, one person comes to, some people came to Imam Ridha alayhi salam and asked him to make them exempt from paying the Khums. How about that? You were asking the Imam himself. Now, first of all, this is the haqq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctioned. And this is something which is, this is something that we have to pay towards, to qurbatan ilallah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, according to the narration, he said 3 times that I am not going to make it halal for none of you. He repeated 3 times. And in another hadith we find that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam says that when somebody asks that what is the minimum with which a person can land him in the hell? And Imam alayhi salam replied, eating up the money of orphan. And he said, Nahnu al-yateem, we are the orphan. That means if you eat up the khums, if you don't pay the obligation that we have towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, then you can understand this is how the destiny has been clearly mentioned. And the narration also tells us that when the angel of death, Malakul Maut, comes towards a person who never paid his khums in zakat. The zakat is applicable from those 9 things which are usually found in the villages. So usually we don't talk about zakat. Those scholars who go to the villages, they talk about zakat, because we don't have the, you know, the cattle and the camels and sheep and cow and all that here in the cities. So Islamic taxes, be it zakat or khums, a person who dies without paying those Islamic taxes, the angel of death says to him, Mut Yahudiyan aw Nasraniya. You die as a Jew or a Christian. Tell me, you're not going to die as a Muslim. You're going to die as a Jew or a Christian. So this shows the importance of the concept of paying the haqq of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam towards the Ahlul Bayt, and paying that properly. And first of all, to begin with, this is not even our money. The Quran has already said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Isn't it right? Those people give away from what we have provided as risk to them. What the risk that Allah provided to them. So it's Allah's risk, it's not ours in the real sense if we realize. Please say salawat. This is how it is that important. And when you spend for the sake of Allah, then you spend, because right now we are in the month of Muharram, where commonly, alhamdulillah, the mu'mineen and mu'minat spend so much in the love of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. This is one of the great values of ours, and we are proud to spend our money for the sake of Imam Husayn and for the sake of his love. Isn't it right? But make sure that when we are spending the money, it is the money which is pure and purified. It should not be the money which is impure. You can never spend an impure money for a pure cause, because that's not going to be accepted. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, who is the markaz of taharat, he is the central point of cleanliness. And ayatul tathir, the verse about the pure status of Ahlul Bayt, is revealed about these five personalities when it was revealed. Isn't it right? We cannot think of paying from the haram income in the love of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. It doesn't work like this. This cannot be accepted. It is actually an insult if you bring for a pure and purified person, you bring the najis money to give him as a gift. Isn't that insult? Somebody who distanced himself throughout his life from everything najis, and we are presenting a gift to him. And when you bring food for in the love of Imam Hussain, you are actually gifting it to Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We need to make sure that we are presenting something which is pure and tayyib. Min tayyibatima. Isn't it right? Quran talks about tayyibat. We need to give away from the tayyibat of what Allah has provided us, not from khabithat. There is no tasadduq and sadaqah given from khabisat. This is what we find, that if we have pure intention towards the Ahlul Bayt, and if we have pure actions and pure money spent for the sake of them, you find there is always rewards. There was a story one teacher was telling, that one person, his father was leaving for the ziyarat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. This son didn't have the money. And he said to his dad, I wish I could accompany with you for the ziyarat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, but I don't have the money. He went back to his store, dad left with the caravan, he went back to his shop. He was a poor guy with a small shop. And he find on the same time, a person came, brought some expensive commodity for him and gave him. He said, I don't have the money to buy that from you. He said, no, keep that and sell it, and you pay me back after you make money. And he gets that commodity from this rich person, and all of a sudden, arrangement from Allah, an arrangement from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, a buyer arrives immediately to buy that expensive commodity, and he made so much money that he shut down his shop and he rushed and he found the same caravan of his dad. It hadn't gone far away. Can you imagine how much they are ready to pay back to us? If we have pure intention towards Imam Husayn alayhi salam, this is what it counts. They buy purity and ikhlas. They themselves are pure, and they distance themselves from najasat. And the love of money and the attachment towards money is the biggest najasat. And the love of dunya and attachment towards this material belonging is the biggest possible najasat, bigger than any najasat outside. Biggest possible najasat inside the soul. That blocks us from all those good deeds. And this is what we find, the purity. They buy ikhlas. If you remember that story, one of the teachers of Hausa had told that a great arif person, a great scholar, he went for the ziyarat of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. And when he went there, the haram in those days used to be shut down sooner. Nowadays they keep it open, alhamdulillah, throughout the night. In those days they used to shut down the haram sooner. And the servant there at the door, he was just shutting down the door and he didn't let this scholar go in. And he said, there's just one lady inside, I'm just asking her to leave as well. And this scholar returns back, isn't it right? So you cannot force the people, just like we don't push the people while reaching the zari. There are some people who just because they didn't reach the zari, they start pushing the people aside. You cannot do a haram for the sake of doing some sort of recommended or mustahab act. Isn't it right? This is wrong. You cannot push the people so you can touch the dhari. Or some sort of good action. This is how some silly people are. You are pushing 10 mu'mineen just to kiss the dhari. You think you are going to get close to Imam Hussain as-salam by doing haram towards 10 mu'min brothers and sisters? So he returns back to his his place, and he goes to sleep, and that's where he saw that dream which I once mentioned in your city, isn't it right? And he sees in the dream that this mu'mina was there, the one about whom the servant of the haram was talking about. This mu'mina is there in the haram, Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. He's an arif scholar. They don't have those curtains. So he saw that this lady is asking for the shifa and cure of his son from the sickness. Asking that from Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam to give him shifa and cure from that illness. And he's this great scholar, he saw in the dream that, and there's a Nurani gathering and Prophet is sitting there. And Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam is, or Prophet is available. Amir al-Mumineen is also available there. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is also, this gathering, Amir al-Mumineen is there, and there are angels there. Apart from the Prophet and Amir al-Mumineen, there are several angels who are standing in front of Rasulullah. And at that occasion, he finds that one of the angels come inside this Nurani gathering, and he says that Abul Fadl Abbas sends salam to you. Says to the Holy Prophet. And after the salam, he says that he's asking that you do the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of the son of that lady who arrived at his dari. Prophet did the dua and the response came that, this son is destined to die. That means the shifa and cure cannot be given. Look at the azmat of Abul Fadl Abbas in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How great is Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. And the angel went away. And after a while, this arif scholar, he's seeing in the dream, he saw the angel is sent again by Abul Fadl Abbas. He comes again into the same Nurani gathering and he repeats the same to the Holy Prophet, and Prophet seeks the dua once again, and the similar answer comes back from Allah's behalf. And the angel goes away and tells the answer to Abul Fadl Abbas. And now this scholar sees in the dream that now Abul Fadl Abbas himself comes to see the Holy Prophet in the same situation, the way he died, with the arrow poked into his eye, and he's bleeding and he's injured and without the two hands available. In the same situation, Abul Fadl Abbas shows up in front of Rasulullah and he says that, to say to Allah that either remove the title of Abul Fadl of Babul Hawa'id, the door towards the acceptance of the prayers of the people, either remove that title away from me or give the shifa and cure to the son of this lady. In other words, this is how we find the reply comes back from Allah, that the title of Babul Hawa'id will not be taken away from Abbas. Allah has given the shifa to that, the son of the lady. Look at the highness of Abul Abbas. This arif scholar comes back and he meets again the person at the door of the haram and tells the servant to tell the lady that your son has already been given shifa, so please come back from the dhari, come out of the haram. This is how the situation of Abul Abbas is. How dear he is towards Allah. How dear to is Imam Hussein, when he comes towards Imam Hussein to seek the permission for jihad, Imam is not giving the permission.
You know, it's so hard for the Imam to give, to allow permission towards a great brother like Abbas. That's not easy. Imam replies back to Abul Fadl Abbas, Anta hamilun liwa'i. You are the carrier of my flag. In other words, you are the commander in chief of this army. Imam Abbas looks towards the, you know, the right and the left, towards the both sides, and then says to the Mawla, where is that army? Where are those people, in other words, for whom I am leading? That means there is no one else left. So Abul Fadl Abbas is being given the permission now to go and bring water for Sakina bint al Hussein, for Sakina. Now he comes and towards the tent and grabs the leather water back from Sakina. And now Abbas alayhi salam is heading towards the Furat. You know, obviously, you know, the children have been so thirsty, raising their voice of Al-Atash, Al-Atash, oh thirst, because they were so thirsty since days. And now they are so much encouraged that now our uncle Abbas is going to get the water. They are so much hopeful to now get the water. When he reaches into the Furat, after doing his brave battle there, and we find he takes his horse right into the river and takes the water into his hand and recalls Sakina bint al-Hussein at that time. He did not drink the water. May our souls be sacrificed for the wafa and faithfulness of Abul Fadl Abbas. You had access to drinking the water, but you did not drink the water because Sakina is thirsty, because Imam al-Hussein is thirsty. Look at the highness and azamat of Abbas. He comes back, he fills up the leather water bag and comes back towards the Khiyam, towards the Khaymah of Sakina. And we find the enemy. Enemy is there surrounding, almost surrounding Abul Fadl Abbas. One enemy comes forward and he chops the right hand of Abul Fadl Abbas. He didn't let go of the water bag. He grasps the water bag with his left arm so he can at least take some water towards Sakina, who is waiting for him. And now when the arrow is thrown, when we find that the left hand has been cut, Hazrat Abbas did not still let go of the water bag, and now he is holding the bag with the teeth, with his mouth. Look at the courage of this personality. And we find Abul Fadl Abbas is still moving forward, his horse is still heading forward, until Harmala is the person who is throwing another arrow at that time, pointing towards the water bag of Sakina, and the water goes down. And now we don't find in the narration that Abbas alayhi salam still moves forward towards the Khaymah. Why would he want to go forward now? And now when Abbas alayhi salam is attacked from various sides and he falls down over the ground and made of Karbala. Isn't that right? Ayatullah Sibawai, who used to lead the prayers in the haram of Abul Fadl Abbas, he saw him in the dream, and Abbas Aisam was asking him about his masaib. He said, Mawla, what masaib are you talking about? I keep on reading your musibat. I keep on reading that. Which one is you talking about? And Abbas Aisam replies back to him that every shaheed of Karbala, when he used to fall down, when he fell down over the ground, he had his hands there. When I fell down, my hands were cut off. So all the arrows again penetrated into my body. This is Abul Fadl Abbas. And now when Hazrat Zainab is waiting for Hazrat Abbas to come back, and Imam Hussein tells her he is not going to come back, in other words, I'm paraphrasing. And now Zainab replies back, my dad used to kiss my hands. That the rope will be tied up in your hands. Now the time has arrived that the rope will be tied over my hands. Obviously, a sister like Zainab, who has a brother like Abbas, who can dare tie up the hands of Zainab in the presence of Abbas. But now that he becomes Shaheed, Zainab realizes
this is the time has arrived when her hands will be tied up in the rope. And now when Imam al-Hussein, we find Imam al-Hussein gets closer, goes towards Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salam. When Imam moves towards him, he says that statement that was never said for any other person in Karbala. Imam says, Al-an inkasara wahri wa qallat hilati. Now my back has been broken and my tadbir and plan has been decreased. Imam Hussein also said, for only and only Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salam, the only shaheed of Karbala for whom Mawla Imam Hussein had said, Binafsi anta, may my life be sacrificed on you. When Imam Hussein says that for Abul Fazl Abbas, even if the whole universe gets sacrificed for him, it is still less. Look at the azmat of Abul Fazl Abbas. He's the only individual, only shaheed of Karbala, because for every shaheed, Prophet himself was arriving in the final moments, and providing he was there, and the drink of Kausar was being provided at that time. Abbas alayhi salam is the only shaheed. Ayatullah Jafar Shustari says, he's the only shaheed of Karbala. When the drink was provided on behalf of the Holy Prophet, he refused to drink the drink of Kausar from the fountain of Kausar. Because as long as Imam Hussein is thirsty, how can Abbas quench his thirst? That is the reason Allah gave him the laqab and title of Babul Hawa'id.
Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa say'a'lamu al-lazina ظلموا أيام قلبي ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the Ayatul Kareema for all the mu'mineen, especially those who have sponsored all these majalis and sponsored the food and did any sort of service in the love of Ahlul Bayt, and all those who are ill and those who requested for dua, and all the mustada'afin and mahrumin and mazlumin in the Islamic Ummah, especially those who are defending the haram of Sayyida Zainab sallallahu alayha. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا حسين.